All right, Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie, along with Rhee and Devin and Seltzer on this Wednesday morning. Now, John, I think it's fair to say that few athletes in Philadelphia sports have, while still being an active athlete, have achieved the status of living legend. Brian Dawkins did as an athlete while he was still playing. Dr. J certainly did while he was an athlete. Our next guest, Jason Kelce, of course, just a phenomenal Eagle, great guy. Big charity event happening next week, and he joins us right now. How you doing, Jason?
Joe, thanks for having me. How's you guys doing this morning?
Super.
We're good, Jason. So, Jason, before we get to all the super important stuff, 5 minutes ago we were trying to come up with an answer. We didn't know it. We thought, you're Mr. Philadelphia, maybe you'll know it. Why is there a crack in the Liberty Bell? How did it happen?
Oh, my gosh. This is like just another Ritchie question or trivia deal.
I mean, you know, we got the Philly thing, and there's a big crack, and no one knows why there's a crack.
Faulty manufacturing.
Exactly.
I have no idea.
You're actually right.
Yeah, I think that might be correct.
We should get our money back. All right, Jason, big event Wednesday, man. We're looking forward to a Team 62 charity event. Obviously, Jason, you know, your foundation, you and your wife do wonderful work. This is all about helping, the fight with autism, the Eagles Autism Foundation, and their great charity initiative, which you link up with. And all of this on Wednesday of next week, along with your brother, at Patty Green's and Ocean Drive in Sea Isle, open to the public for, you know, a good portion of the day. Take us inside your mindset for all that's going to be going on next Wednesday and how everyone listening can get involved, be there, and donate and all that great stuff.
Man, listen, you show up. You want to come. You're going to be in the Sea Isle City, New Jersey area on June 28th, Wednesday. We got stuff happening all day. You guys are going to be broadcasting live from the green. They're starting out at 6 a.m. And we're going to be – hold on, my dog's going crazy. We're going to be going crazy all day, though. My brother came for the first time last year, and he said, man, that was like the most fun charity event I've ever been a part of in my life. And, man, we're just out there – trying to embrace being at the shore together, having fun in the good weather, hopefully. And, it's all for a good cause. So, you know, just bring your fun pants, and we're going to have a good time.
Jason, how much is your brother? I got to say this. I'm super looking forward to this, obviously. But how much are we going to have to endure your brother with Super Bowl 57 talk?
You know, I think he's always a good sport about it. And he hasn't even been hitting me as hard as he could, so I appreciate him on that regard.
Does he know it's personal there? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's all fun and games with jokes, except if it really matters to you, you're really not in the mood to hear it. Do you think he respects that element of your life where he chooses not to go there or go there often or go there deep because he knows, you know, this isn't just another thing?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, obviously being brothers – and playing in the Super Bowl is a unique situation. And that's one element of it. But, you know, Travis already lost the Super Bowl. He lost the Super Bowl to Tom Brady and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he knows that feeling. So he very much has firsthand knowledge how much that stings. As a matter of fact, at this event last year, Trav was on the radio with Angelo and those guys. And Rhea, I think, was there.
Yes.
How you doing, Rhea?
Hey, Jason.
He said, you know, winning a Super Bowl is great, but losing a Super Bowl will never make you want to win a Super Bowl that much more.
Wow.
And I thought he was just saying something good for radio and the fans and everybody that was there and something that sounded great. And no, he was dead on. And I think he fully much is aware of, you know, how much it hurts to lose a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. You know, do all that work to get there. Have such a special year with the team, the city, the fans, and to not have that finality does sting.
Yeah.
So I think he'll know how to play that. Very few that are charismatic and personable enough to be able to navigate that territory, but Trav is definitely one of them.
Jason, how much better can this offense become?
Yeah, I mean – you know, we know we have a lot of room for improvement. There's definitely areas that we can all get better in. And, we're starting from ground zero. You know, I think in some regards we want to be better than last year, but, you know, you don't want to fall victim of thinking that you're the same guy as last year, the same team as last year. Because, you know, even though we're returning all the same players and whatnot, each year is different. You know, we were doing things last year that were new, creative, innovative. Guys took leaps on personal levels to have some of the best years of their careers. All of that, you know, all of that peaked right at the right time. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the reason it peaked is because we put the work in. Everyone, the players, the coaches, the front office, and everybody had that desire and hunger to make it better. Mm-hmm. And that's how we're going to get better, if we're going to be better. You have to start from that perspective. Like, what are we going to do this year? Because right now, every team in the NFL is studying our tape. All the offenses are studying it to try and take from what we did well last year. And all the defenses are studying it to figure out how can we stop all those, you know, RPOs, those reads, whatever passing contests we were doing. You know, they're trying to figure out what we can do to mitigate this, because not everybody in the league is going to be doing it.
Right.
And that's one of the things I saw coming out of the 2017 season. You know, we had some really fresh, innovative things that the next year don't work quite as well, because now defensive coordinators have a whole year to really game plan and be ready for it, rather than just a week or two leading up to the game.
So what's the biggest difference that you're seeing with Brian Johnson as the play caller? Those adjustments that you're saying this team needs to make to stay ahead of the curve. How is the offense going to be different?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're continually trying to adjust to make the run game better. You know, I admittedly don't know much about the pass concepts, but I know that we're doing different things and creative things to go off of that. You know, a lot of it comes down to what did teams do that did stop us, and how can we be ready if teams want to replicate that, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's, teams playing certain fronts, certain blitzes, certain situational things. You know, obviously teams are going to be geared up to stop the quarterback sneak that almost got banned in the NFL last year. So what are we doing to stay ahead of that next year?
Mm-hmm.
I think all of that's happening right now in the discussion. That's one of my favorite parts about OTAs at this point. You know, I don't necessarily get that fired up to do my 13th install of Inside Zone, but I get real fired up to be on the field and have a conversation with Brian Johnson or Nick Sirianni. Sure. About, like, oh man, you remember when, you know, the scout team gives us what type of looks? Oh, you remember when we got that against such and such? Like, it'd be so great if we could get to this, or we could get to that, or, you know, right, if we were in this personnel, you know, so. All of those conversations, the nuanced ones, and kind of the things that I really still enjoy, as well as just hanging out with your teammates.
So you get to hang out with Cam Jurgens, a guy who, you know, it's been reported you had some say on that whole decision. How hard is it for a center to become a guard? Because we hear all the time about the adjustments Cam has to make, and I'm just wondering what your perspective is on that.
Well, you know, I played two years of guard in college. I only played 1 year at center, actually, at Cincinnati.
Wow.
So, you know, it's a different job requirement. Guard, you're going to have to be able to move people. You're going to have to be able to set the point on a lot of double teams. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it in the way that, like, they've got an inside zone play to the guard, the front side guard is the post player for that guard center combination. Mm-hmm. And the backside guard is a post player for the guard tackle on that combination. That's one of our bread and butter plays. And it's the same thing, whether you're running that duo, like all these plays, the guard has to be the guy that sets that point. And that's an important role. Mm-hmm. He also has to be a guy that can, you know, at the baseline, not lose ground in a manned up one-on-one situation. If he can create movement, that's great. Mm-hmm. But I think that all of those are different requirements in the center position. They have to be bigger. They have to be stronger. And I think they have to be longer, because they're going to be in a little bit more space. Every position you move from center, you have to be able to pass block and move in a larger area. So your arm length is more important. The good thing is Cam has long arms. He's not the tallest guy, right? He's pretty much the same height as me, about 6'3". But his arms are 33 and a half, right? They're definitely – he's got the length from that perspective. Weight-wise, he's right around 310, I think, right now, or he's planning on being for the season. That's like, you know, kind of like a 295-pound center, right? Like, it can work out, but it takes a special player to do that at a high level, mm-hmm. if we're being honest. Mm-hmm. I think Cam is a special player. I think he's incredibly athletic in regards to anything on the offensive line. Athletic guys usually find a way to figure things out better than non-athletic guys. I think that he is, I mean, for his weight to strength ratio is through the roof. This guy front squatted 550 pounds.
Like, front squatted.
Front squat in this offseason.
That's amazing.
I mean,
wow.
He has incredible strength, explosion. I mean, I really, we're going to find out if he can do guard.
Right.
But he's got a lot of traits that everyone in certainly our organization likes. If it doesn't work out there, he's still, I mean, I think the world of him as a center, but I think he's going to, you know, I think he's got so many traits. I'd be hard pressed to find out that he can't play guard.
Jason Kelce with us right now. Huge event coming up Wednesday of next week at Paddy's Green and Ocean Drive in Sea Isle. Open to the public from 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. We're going to be broadcasting down there, our show, all the other shows up until 6 p.m. Big fundraiser at the Ocean Drive from 4 to 8 that night, Wednesday of next week. All sorts of great stuff. By the way, a link right now is on the WIP Morning Show Twitter page, also the WIP page on Twitter, where you can find out more information. You can find out how you can make a direct donation. Again, it all benefits the Eagles Autism Foundation. So please check out the WIP Morning Show account or the WIP account on Twitter, both of which will get you to the right spot. Jason, let's talk more about your decision to come back and play again. And I'm sure there was a lot of factors that went into it, but I'm curious, what was the biggest factor? What was the biggest reason why you are going to play another season for the Eagles?
Just wanting to play another season. You know, I think the more I talk to people, and I know that I've been through this, you know, the last like 3 or 4 years now, but you know, it's a big commitment. It's a big ad. It's a big part of your life. If you want to do it well and be as good as you need to be or want to be. And it's a grind. It's getting harder and harder to do it every year. Mentally, it's hard to get through. Physically, it's damn sure hard to get through. But, you know, the reality is, you know, I still want to play football. And there's still something that I enjoy doing it. I enjoy certainly the games. I enjoy the preparation with Stout, even though at times it can get monotonous. But, you know, the more I've talked to my wife, my family, my coaches, you know, all of them, you know, and Jeff Stoutland has said this multiple times, you know, it's, you know, one day you're going to wake up and you're not going to want to do it. I'm like, Stoutland, I don't think that's going to happen. He's like, I'm telling you right now, there's going to be a day that you're not going to want to play football anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, whenever I talk to people, it seems to be that, you know, that's kind of the barometer is, you know, once you stop playing, it's over. There's no going back. I mean, I guess some guys go back.
Yeah.
But you know, and there's nothing else that's going to give you that same type of rush as playing the game did, no matter how much, what you do with the game. Right.
Yep.
So as long as you can do that, just keep doing it.
I agree. Nothing can replace it. So, Jason, I knew a guy who would drink a case of beer every day after practice to keep his weight up. What is your strange but effective off-season dietary regimen, and how much do you focus on your weight in the off-season?
I don't focus that much now. I think my body has kind of gotten used to the weight I'm at. For early in my career, I had to really struggle with it.
Right.
Whether it was, you know, nutritional supplements, like just packed with calories, eating, you know, exorbitant amounts of fast food. I had to take high blood pressure medication at one point in my life because I was eating so much McDonald's, Taco Bell.
I
mean, it was insane. It's like a 20-year-old, you have high blood pressure. I'm like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah. I knew guys who would eat McDonald's every night before bed because they knew that would pack the weight on the best.
It keeps it on. Like I don't know. I've done a different thing. My go-to for years has been ice cream. I love ice cream. Always have.
Yeah.
I can
chocolate
eat
or
that
vanilla?
Times. I'll say, if I'm having to choose between those two, I go vanilla just because it's easier to add things to it. It's a better, facilitator of a good ice cream flavor, if you will. Yeah. But I'm not going to be upset with either of them. Although I've had to get away from ice cream, unfortunately. Brent Celek, late in his career, he came into practice one day and he's like, man, I feel like crap. I shouldn't have had that milkshake last night. And I'm like, dude, it's not the game that we just played. It's the milkshake. And then, 2 years ago, I had some ice cream and went out to practice. I was like, hey, man, Celek wasn't lying, man. This is no joke. I feel like crap today. So I've had to scale back my in-season ice cream, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
Jason Kelce with us. Jason, let me say a sentence, and I'm curious what's your reaction to it. Jason Kelce is going to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer. I'll give you a second sentence. It's basically a lock. Last 2 to 3 years, you put yourself not only in there, but basically in just about lock territory. What's your reaction to that?
I don't know. Obviously, it'd be up for be in the consideration for an award that has the names that one does is pretty. I'm a humbling just gratifying, but for years I don't know. Part of me as a football player doesn't think individual awards should be a part of this. Like, I think football is the greatest team game, bar none, not even close on the planet. And it's one of those that you're so reliant on all the guys next to you who's coaching you. It ain't like basketball. You go out there, you drop 30 a game, you're going to be one of the greatest, right? And for me, I know that I'm probably not even getting a chance in the NFL if Howard Mudd isn't an offensive line coach the way I did. I know that I'm not having the career I did if I don't transition from him to Jeff Stoutland, and that I don't – there are years that I didn't play well if I didn't have good guards next to me. Good tackles to solidify the edge that free us up to do to be firmer inside. I mean, I've played for four different head coaches, all of which have been massively successful. I think outside of the guys that are, scheme independent, and I would put, other guys ahead of me in that regard. Like, Jason Peters could have played for any NFL team and been one of the best tackles in the NFL. Fletcher Cox could have played for any team and been one of the best defensive tackles in the NFL. That's not the case with me. So I feel a little bit like it's undeserving to a certain extent, to be honest with you, because of that regard. Now, I've had longevity and all these other things, and I've worked for it. There ain't no doubt about that. But I just think to some degree – The Pro Bowls and the MVPs and all of these things, I feel like those awards are for the fans. To me, individual awards, I don't care, man.
Wow.
How good were you guys as a team? How good were you? How successful were you? How did you guys battle through adversity? That's what the game's about. Not about that, but it's an honor for sure. And we'll see one day if that happens, but. That's kind of what I think in general.
As self-effacing as ever. Hey, you mentioned your dog. What's your dog's name?
So this one that's going crazy right now is Baloo. By the way, don't never get a dog whose face can reach the countertops.
What kind of dog is it?
It's an Irish Wolfhound.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
He's 180 pounds, taller than me on his hind legs.
No way.
I come down this morning. He got into a white rice container. There's white rice all over the kitchen right now that I'm looking at.
Oh, boy.
It.
How old is he?
We have to hide our loaves of bread. He'll eat full loaves of bread. We have to hide them like we're in like Depression era America, 1920s. Where can we put it that it won't get stolen? Yeah, I don't know. It's very odd.
Wow. Right. And what's his name? Baloo?
So we have two. We have Baloo and Winnie. They're both named after animated bears because they kind of look.
Yeah.
Like wolves, bears, very hairy. So Wow. Winnie is Winnie the Pooh, and Baloo is after Baloo in the Jungle Book.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Hey, yeah. Jason, tell us about, for this event next week, the Skip the Line concept and how people can get involved with everything related to next week in the charity event.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, there's going to be admittance at the door, so, you know, if you don't want to plan ahead and you just want to come, we can always make that happen, but if you're looking to make sure you get in there, you want a little bit more guarantee that you're going to get in quickly, there's going to be 100 tickets sold. I'm trying to find this picture so I don't mess this up. Yeah, so there's going to be 100 tickets that are sold VIP for early admittance into the guest bartending portion. That starts at 4 o'clock. So the VIP tickets will get you in at 3. We'll have a nice picture, probably drink a beer or two, and then we'll be on to the show after that at 4 p.m. with the guest bartending and everything that occurs after that. But that'll kind of get you in, get you some early access to the guys that are there, and you won't have to wait in line for the event.
Love it. Again, the entire event, let me just run through this one time here. Team 62 charity event at Patty's Green and Ocean Drive in Seattle, Wednesday of next week. We will be broadcasting our show. So will Joe and Hugh. So will John and Ike. So 6 to 6 with broadcast. It's at 39th and Landis Avenue right there in Sea Isle. Broadcast open to the public from 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. Children, of course, are welcome. Jason and Travis Kelce. There's going to be a big Wawa hoagie building competition, which John and I will try to then eat a good portion as much as we can. Jason's fundraiser at the Ocean Drive at night, sort of more, I don't know if you call it gala event, but a bigger event, I guess. 4 to 8. First come, first serve, but you also heard what Jason just said about that. You can also ensure your spot to be one of the top 30 donors by being one of the top 30 donors for priority entry for the event and access to the New Heights live podcast taking place earlier that day. Again, for more information, and this all benefits the Eagles Autism Foundation. By the way, Jason, my hat's off to you and your brother and your wife for all of that you do from a charity standpoint. For all the information for everyone listening, including the opportunity, if you can't be there to make a direct donation, please go to either the WIP Twitter account or the WIP Morning Show Twitter account. Both will lead you right to the spot to go to. Jason, we look forward to seeing you next week. We'll have a great time. And, of course, we look forward to the 2023 season as well. Thanks so much, Jason, for joining us today. We'll see you next week, man.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys. I got to say one more thing. Seltzer has been saying that he's going to beat me chugging a beer for a while.
Ooh.
If there was ever an event to have this take place, I know that he's technically working, but
I am so ready, buddy. Let's do this.
Can this be an AM chug? Can this be in the 9 o'clock hour AM live on the air?
Whenever you guys want. I've been looking forward to this.
Wow.
Me too,
buddy.
Seems like a perfect way to
let's go.
All right, my money's on Kelce.
Yeah,
but
Jimmy, you can't win.
All right, keep bringing that. You know, maybe I'll have my own speech at the end. No one believed in me.
I feel like this is like what Muhammad Ali must have felt like when boxers didn't shy down to his trash talk. I feel like it's like I'm like for some reason I'm nervous about James's confidence. I don't know what to do with that.
You put yourself out there. We're gonna find out.
Yeah, I know.
A week from today, Jason. Thanks so much, man. We'll see you next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, there he is, Jason Kelce.
He's just the